Thank you. Sorry, I think I was putting everyone wrong there for a couple of verses, wasn't I, God? I was hearing you and I was thinking, Karen's singing a different tune to me. So I stopped and listened and thought, no, I haven't sung that probably for a couple of years, so I'd forgotten it. And that's really what we're about today. It's about, do we think we just know ourselves, everything, or do we listen to others and learn from them? So this is the last of the short series I've just done about what we know. We've been thinking about what we know about the world that we are in, and about other people, and about ourselves, and about God. And this chapter is all about this. This chapter is all about, if we turn back to John 7, it's all about listening and learning and finding out and making sure that what we know is correct. Making sure we know, as we said with the kids, for ourselves, what's in the box, what's in the Bible, who Jesus is, and not just letting second-hand views inform us. I'm often disturbed in this community when I see so many people who have attended church in an earlier part of their lives, but no longer do so. And somehow or other have just missed who Jesus is, and seem to have made up their minds that they know who Jesus is, when they clearly don't. Because if they knew who Jesus was, not only would they be involved in church, but they themselves would be devoted to him. But they don't know who Jesus is, and yet they think they do because they went to church when they were kids or when they were younger. And that's disturbing. It's disturbing that people can make up their minds about Jesus without ever actually really hearing who he really is. And that this chapter here is all about that. And we're going to focus in on Nicodemus' words in verse 51. So Nicodemus stands up for Jesus. The Pharisees are condemning Jesus. And Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, asks, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's doing? Does our law condemn without first listening? And Nicodemus is saying to his fellows, gentlemen, you're not listening. You're not listening to Jesus. And you're condemning him. You're making up your mind without listening. And society does that. There's lots and lots of people who think they know about Jesus. They have an opinion about him. But they've never actually listened to Jesus himself. And Christians too can make this mistake very easily. And I think we've been finding that out on Wednesday nights as we've been looking at the book Gentle and Lowly. And people have been saying, you know, I've seen Jesus' character in a new light. I've seen God's character in a new light through this book. It's like we had this idea of who God was and we decided this is our God. But by listening carefully, we've decided actually we don't really understand his character as clearly as we could do. And we're finding out more, and it's enriching us, and it's great. Because sometimes in life, and I made this mistake, I've already said this recently, I made this mistake myself when I was ill. You know, I thought God was treating me harshly. Not only that, but other people were telling me God was treating me harshly. I remember a couple of people in 1 week both said to me, your God's not looking after you very well just now. And, you know, thinking that is showing, and if I was thinking that, it was showing that I didn't really grasp God's character properly, as I want to do. And to do that, we've got to listen. And I've been trying since, I've been able to think more clearly again since the transplant operation, to think about God's character and to learn, and I have learned a great deal of new things that have been really blessed to me And I've had to say sorry to God on many, many occasions for the ways I've gone wrong. So we're going to use this chapter today, just briefly, to have a look at some of the ways in which people make up their minds without really knowing what they're talking about. And it might help you, because you might be someone that, you know, you've come into church thinking, well, I come to church, but I know what it's all about. And maybe you may see that actually sometimes that's the greatest danger. It's when we think we know God and we think we know about Jesus that we stop growing. Instead of coming to God and saying, God, I've begun to learn, but I need to listen more carefully to you. I need to make sure that my knowledge of you is right. And it may help you also to recognize people around you and where they go wrong in their thinking about God. So let's look at just a few things quickly. First of all, let's think about verse 3 and 4 in chapter 7 of John. So this is Jesus' brothers. Now Jesus had four brothers. And next week I'm going to start a series about the church in Jerusalem. And we'll be reading in chapter 1 of the book of Acts. And Jesus' brothers in chapter 1 of the book of Acts are right in the thick of things in the church, because Jesus has risen from the dead and they've believed in him. But here they don't. It says in verse 5, his own brothers didn't yet believe in him. And so they say to him in verse 3, you ought to leave Galilee and go down to Judea, to Jerusalem, for the feast, so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. So they have made up their minds about their brother, Jesus. They've made up their minds that what he really wants, what Jesus really wants, is to become a public figure. They've decided on his motivation. And that is a very challenging thing to try and do, is decide on the motivation of Jesus or the motivation of God. But they've decided, from what they've seen so far, and the miracles Jesus has done, and the teaching Jesus has given, and the crowds Jesus has attracted, they have made up their mind, hey, our brother wants to be a big shot. He wants to be a big leader. He wants to be the leader of the nation, a public figure. And of course, that's completely wrong. That's not what Jesus' motivation is, because that's a selfish motivation. Wanting to be someone big and important. That's not who Jesus is at all. So the brothers have, for whatever reason, made up their minds about Jesus. Somehow, they've spent 30 years with him and they haven't listened. They haven't listened to Jesus. Sometimes that's what happens, even for people who are in the church, that something happens in our lives and we think, God's been bad to me. God's been harsh. God's treating me unfairly. And we make up our minds on God's motivation. Now God's wanting to mistreat me in some way. And somehow we think that we know what we're talking about when we don't. Have we looked into God's heart? Well, God's heart is full of love. Whatever he does in our lives has a loving motivation. And if we make up our minds in a different way than that, and as people often do, then we'll go all wrong. We need to listen. And the brothers somehow haven't done that. And they made up their minds. Here's another example. This is in verses 6 and verse 8. Jesus told his brothers, the right time for me has not yet come, the right time to go down to the feast. For you, any time is right. And again he says in verse 8, you go up to the feast, I'm not yet going up to the feast, because for me the right time has not yet come. So Jesus is working by a schedule, by a timetable that is God's timetable for him. And there's a right time for everything. God works in our lives like that as well. He's got a time for everything in our lives. But for us who don't know that timetable, we like to decide what it is for ourselves. We like to say to God, now's the time you should come and help me. Now's the time you should work in this situation. Now's the time you should fix this. We like to decide on God's timing. And as Jesus says, for us, any time is right. And usually our time is now. Come on, God. This is bad. Fix it now. And when he doesn't fix it now, we get unhappy with him. And that's our fault, not his fault. It's our fault for deciding on his timetable when it's not his timetable. And that's what the brothers are doing as well. Another mistake. Mistake in thinking. When we make up our minds without listening first to Jesus, to God. Here's another example. This is about opinions. So verse 12 and verse 13. Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about Jesus. Some said, he's a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews, the Jewish leaders. And again in verse 41. On hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Christ. Still others, how can the Christ come from Galilee? So, what's happening is there's this big crowd at the feast, and Jesus is there, and they've got lots of different opinions about him. You know, there's some people saying, he's a good man. No, he's a bad man. He's a prophet. He's a Christ. He's nobody. They've got all sorts of opinions about Jesus. But we know their opinions because it says no one would say anything publicly about him for fear. People are never prepared to die for their opinions, are they? They die for their convictions. And convictions about Jesus can only be gained by actually listening personally to him. And Christians throughout the centuries since this time have sometimes been called to die for Jesus, because in the situation in which they live, they're so badly oppressed by the authorities that the authorities want them to turn away from Jesus as Lord, because the authorities believe they are Lord and not Jesus. And so they put pressure on the Christians. But the Christians are not Christians because they've got an opinion about Jesus. They're Christians because they have convictions about Jesus. And we ask ourselves today, are we people who have convictions about Jesus? Are we really people who know, yes, I absolutely know who my Savior is, and he is Lord? Or are we people who have an opinion? Yeah, he's a good man, he's a bad man, he's the Christ, he's a prophet. There's a difference between opinions and convictions. We saw it illustrated vividly a couple of weeks ago. That very, very brave news editor, Marina Ovsyannikova, who I think was her name. And there on the Russian propaganda television station, she stood behind the newsreader with a placard saying, don't listen to this propaganda, it's all lies, they're lying to you here. We don't want the war. Now, I think every one of us who saw that thought, that's a brave woman. That's a very brave woman. And the things that she said in that placard were not opinions. They were convictions. Because she knew that she'd get into trouble. Maybe a lot of trouble. I think actually it seems that so far she seems to have got off rather lightly from what might have happened. But who knows what will happen in due course to her. What bravery. But bravery comes out of convictions. And convictions come out of listening to Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to put aside our assumptions. We need to put aside the things that we've made up our minds about and just tune into him. Listen for ourselves. Don't get second-hand opinions. Listen for yourself and gain conviction that way. Here's another example. verse 15. The Jewish leaders were amazed and asked, how did Jesus get such learning without having studied? And again in verse 49 they say, this mob, the crowd, knows nothing of the law. There's a curse on them. Now what's happening here is that the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees as well, have decided that the only people that really know about God are people who have gone to university, people who have gone to college, people who studied, or whatever the equivalent was of that in their day. There were schools of learning for the Pharisees. There were two main leaders among the Pharisees at that time. And they could go to school and they could study like Saul of Tarsus did for many years and get great learning. And as Saul of Tarsus had great learning, he didn't know God. He didn't know Jesus until he met him on the road to Damascus. And there are many people today, and we think, well, we've got to listen to these people because they've got a PhD. Because they're professor so-and-so. You know, because they've studied a lot. But often people who study are just as ignorant of the realities of God and of Jesus as people who left school when they were 14 or 12 or whatever. But sometimes the people who left school when they were 12 or 14 know far more about God than the people with the PhDs because they've listened. It's not about your qualifications. It doesn't matter whether you've, you know, gone to school or not, gone to college or not, gone to university or not, you know, whether you're a great scholar or not. That is not the thing that makes up the reality of what you know about God. It's just, have you as a person listened carefully to God yourself? And Jesus didn't go to any of the schools of learning at all. But what he did do, and he tells us this in verse 16, he says, my teaching's not my own. It comes from him who sent me. Jesus has been listening very, very carefully all through his life to his heavenly Father. And because of that, he knows God, his Father. And when he speaks about God, his Father, he's speaking with all the reality of a person who is in an intimate relationship as the Son with the Father and just knows what it's like and what it's about. We all have relationships. We can talk about relationships. We can talk about, you know, our parents or our wives or our husbands or whatever. And we talk about them with great clarity and great authority because we know them. Well, Jesus was like that with God his Father. He listened and he knew his Father. And that is what we need to do too. So when they're amazed, as verse 15 says, by Jesus, they're amazed because the difference is these guys, they've got all the learning, but they've never listened to God. And Jesus, who hasn't got the learning, the letters after his name, if you like, but he's been listening to his Father all his life. And he really knows what he's talking about in a way that others just cannot. And so the guards in verse 46 recognize this. No one ever spoke the way this man does. And nothing truer could be said. The problem with so many people today who speak about God and say, oh, there's no God, or they've got great learning. They're professors, they're intelligent people, and people think, oh, they must be right. But they never listen to God. And it's like that apprentice quote that's been going around recently. Again, you don't know how much you don't know because you don't know. And that's the way it is with even many of the most smart people in our country. They don't know how much they don't know about God because they just don't know. And yet they still speak about him and give their opinions, but they know nothing because they haven't listened. Like the Jewish leaders here, And one of their number, Nicodemus, rebukes him and says, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he's doing? They've already made up their minds. But Nicodemus says, you can't do that. You've got to sit at his feet. You've got to listen and learn from Jesus. One more thing I can mention here. We could spend a lot of time more in this chapter just talking about this, but we've spoken about God's motivation. What about our motivation? Well, Jesus says in verse 18, he who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. Whenever you hear someone speak about God and about Jesus, just ask yourself, whose honor are they seeking at this moment? Now, if you see one of the great atheist figures saying, ah, there's no God, ask yourself, whose honor are they seeking? Of course, they're preening themselves in their own learning. You can ask yourself that about me. Whose honor is Roddy seeking? And that's something I need to tremble at, because I need to listen to the words of Jesus myself. I've got to seek his honor, who sent me, and not my own. It's one of the greatest temptations in preaching. And I know that all of preachers succumb to this temptation. It's to cross the line from seeking Jesus' honor through what you say to just wanting to show a wee bit of how good you are yourself. You know, how learned you are, how much you know. It's a temptation. And it's something we must be very careful about. And all of us, you know, ask ourselves, now this person who's got this great opinion about God, whose honour are they seeking? And if they're not seeking the honour of God with what they say, then they don't know what they're talking about. It's all about themselves. It's all about their own opinion. That's what Jesus says here. It's all about seeking honour for themselves, glory for themselves. But when you see a man or a woman who has learned what it is to tremble before God because he or she knows God and has met God and they speak about God, and you think, well, this person's not saying this for their own sake. They're saying it because they know what they're talking about. They know God for themselves. And that's what we all must try to do. We must seek to know God for ourselves. You know, don't take someone else's word for what's in the box. You need to go and have a look yourself. You need to ask. And who could be more inviting of our asking than Jesus himself? On this last great day of the feast in verse 37, he stood and he said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Jesus saying, you know, if you're thirsty, I'm the one you can come to. I'm the one who can satisfy. I'm the one with the answers. I'm the one with the truth. And you and I need to be like Nicodemus. Remember, it says Nicodemus, John chapter 3, went to Jesus at night and he listened. He listened to Jesus. That's chapter 3. In chapter 7 here, he's standing up for Jesus and he's getting a mouthful of abuse for it. And at the end of John's Gospel, he appears again as one of the men that goes to take down the body of Jesus from the cross to have him buried. Nicodemus listened. Nicodemus didn't just condemn because his friends were condemning Jesus. He thought for himself. And he went to Jesus and listened to what Jesus was saying. And when he listened, something wonderful happened. His heart was changed. And that's what we believe God does. And that's why you and I want to get people reading the Bible and listening for themselves. Because when they do that, Jesus can speak into their hearts And no longer are they getting an opinion from someone else. No longer are they listening to some bigwig on the television telling them what to think. They're listening to Jesus for themselves, and he works in their hearts and gives them convictions, living water, life and hope and forgiveness and peace. And so Jesus says to you, and he says to me this morning, you know, don't make up your mind about me without coming and meeting with me first and listening carefully to me and finding out who I am. Because when you do that, you're coming to the living water, and that living water will flow into you too and refresh you. Find out for yourself. Come for yourself. Even if you've been a long time going to church and, you know, not really changed in any way, you just come and come and come. Take time to go and listen to Jesus, to sit at his feet, and not make up your mind, but rather listen carefully to what he's saying. And then let him speak the words of life into your heart and draw you into himself and his life forevermore. Let's pray for a moment now. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, please forgive us for when we have made up our mind about you without really listening in all sorts of ways. Please help us, Jesus, when we have troubles and questions, just to open our Bibles and listen to what you're saying to us. Because, Lord, we know that you can speak in ways that no one else can, and that you can reach down into places in our lives which no one else can reach, and you can pour in that living water, that life, into us that will move us from opinions and hearsay to convictions and commitment and eternal life. Hear our prayers, Jesus, and help us in the week ahead in all that we face and all the challenges we have, for your sake. Amen.